As a follow-up answer to your question, where does the extra energy come from? We forget energy is not an object. It has nothing to do with E equals MC squared. That's nuclear energy. This is something entirely different. You know, with nuclear energy, it does matter the mass, and because you're going to be converting the mass into energy. But with electrical energy, you're not converting any mass into energy. And instead of mass being the qualifying factor or the regulating factor, time is the regulating factor. So how much energy passes through the device per unit of time? Even though it may be the same quantity of energy, if it's measured in a shorter period of time that it passes through the device, effectively, that's more energy, even though it's not. Especially if we recirculate, reuse the same energy over and over again, rather than returning it back to the source, which is very stupid. Great for the people who manufacture batteries and for the people who charge us to make use of energy from the grid. Actually, Jim Murray has a very interesting story along those lines. He was hired by Bechtel Steel Corporation to save money on their electric bill. And he went about, and he did that. What did he do? He put a synchronous generator installed on their side of the meter, and they were running a lot of heavy-duty rock-moving equipment that was electrically driven. And so they saved a tremendous amount of energy simply by reusing the reactive power rather than sending it... I think that's the way it worked. Well, effectively, they reused energy, okay? So they reused it rather... They recycled... They paid for it once, but they got multiple uses out of the same energy instead of just using it once and passing it back to the grid. And the electric company came in, inspected, looked what he was doing, and said, okay, we're going to let you get away with this for now because you're already here doing it. Well, he found a better job somewhere else, and I bet you that was... I love to think about conspiracies. Blame it on a conspiracy. I bet they told somebody outside Bechtel to dangle a carrot in front of his face to offer him a better job, and he took it. He left there, and no sooner than he left, the electric company swooped in and said, okay, now you don't get to do that anymore, and so you get to pay full price, which... industry is not supposed to do. Do I have that right? No. Us, the residential consumer, is not supposed to have to pay for reactive power. Yeah, no, they actually went and made certain that they would be able to charge that Bechtel Corporation or company for each use of reactive power instead of recycling it. Anywho, reactive power doesn't exist, right? It's really... The term reactive power means two things, not one. It's power, for sure, but it's real power. But reactance is the leverage to reuse the power over and over again. That's what it ends up being. That reactance is the leverage to reuse power. And so what we call reactive power is simply, in a better term, the reuse of power. And... conventionally speaking, we already admit that by saying that the energy went and got stored in the inductors, the coils of the machinery, and the capacitors, and then when you turn the machinery off, it goes back to the source. Well, why not take it out of the coils and capacitors while you're running the machinery? Don't wait till you turn it off and then send it back into the coils and capacitors so you multiple times per use of the machinery, so you get to reuse that energy. But we don't do that. We don't design the circuitry to do that because we don't create internal oscillations. But we can't do that, do we? Because we allow the coils to saturate. The current waveform takes on the characteristic of a sine wave, and we think, oh, we're the smart boy I am. We're running the AC transmission system off of sine waves. And yeah, that's stability, but we don't get to reuse it because it saturates the coil, and that's when we don't get to reuse it. But when we have spikes, what I've erroneously called triangle waves, but they're really spikes, spiky waveforms because they're explosive. Then, when we have that, or triangle waves, which is similar, the coils fail to saturate, and then we get to reuse the energy. We get to bounce it around inside the system, parasitically, if perhaps, but nonetheless, we get to reuse it. And because we're reusing it at a faster rate, in other words, it moves more quickly than before. I may feed the circuit, I think I said this already, 30,000 cycle sine wave, but I create spike waveforms that are 150,000 cycles per second. And they don't stay in one place, and they don't even move, because the amperage and the voltage are out of phase by 180 degrees, and what I see happening is that the energy appears everywhere simultaneously and changes everywhere simultaneously and doesn't move from one place to another because the system is already saturated, but it's not admitting to it. It's refusing to admit saturation. And so the energy keeps building up and up and up and up because it doesn't move anywhere. It doesn't go anywhere. So you're faking movement. That's how we get to reuse it. Not by sending it, bouncing it back and forth, but by faking it being sent back and forth. So the circuit, or the energy inside the circuit, makes the circuit think that it's being bounced back and forth and reused, when in reality it stays in one place. Because you can't use it anyway, supposedly, but you can, because you just pass it through a resistive load and it turns into real power and you get to use it. No big deal. So it's really a question of faking the oscillations to make it look like it's being reused at a rate that is greater than what you fed it in the first place. But since it's not moving, it's always available for reuse. That's the uncanny thing. You turn it into a format that can be reused without it having to leave the capacitor or leave the coil. It stays in there, and you simply keep reusing it because it's not an orientation that you can use. So let me explain that. When you have amperage out of phase with voltage by 180 degrees, that's a lie from conventional standpoint. Even though simulators will say that a generator by passive sign convention has to have that configuration, in the real world it never happens. In the real world, the coils of the rotary electric generator at the hydroelectric power plant, they put the current out of phase with the voltage just like any other coil would, lagging by 90 degrees maximum. So even in the real world, it doesn't even exist, this notion of amperage being out of phase with voltage by 180 degrees. Only in the simulator do we see this, and only in convention do we say it, but it doesn't really happen that way. But when I make it happen that way, that's when I'll start to roll, because we've already been lying to ourselves, misrepresenting the situation. So when we see it happening in the real world, we go nuts because we don't know what sense to make out of it. Because we think, oh, it's supposed to happen that way, but we're not supposed to get extra energy. Where did the extra energy come from? So that's why you ask the question, because we didn't assess the situation honestly in the first place. That causes us to ask a question that we should never have had to ask in the first place. So, in the second place. So you ask a question that's not necessary, but it is because of how we misrepresent things. And they'll admit that. But they won't admit the consequences because nobody studies free energy, so they don't have to worry about the consequences, see? But you do, because you want to study it. You want answers. So the first step in getting answers is to correct the mixed-up convention that we have accepted as the way to talk about it, because it creates confusion. And we accept the confusion because we're never tested to go beyond the limits of conventional wisdom, so we don't have to worry. Well, I have to correct all this because the energy is not coming from anywhere except from inside the circuit. We already gave it a nanowatt or a picowatt, and we don't need any more than that. We simply reuse it in place, in-house and in place, because it doesn't move around. It doesn't oscillate within the, within the circuit. It stays within the capacitors. It stays within the coils. I'm sorry for repeating myself, but it's such an important point. It doesn't move because it spikes. All it can do is explode. And in the course of exploding in a cyclic manner, every half cycle, you know, flipping polarity, it also expands its amplitude because it's lossless. Why shouldn't it? It has no choice but to react off of itself. So this is what I mean by reacting off of itself. Since it's not going anywhere, it still has to react though. See, that's, we say this conservation of energy business because energy gives the appearance of movement. You know, a transverse wave, a ripple wave, never moves anyway. According to what we think along the length of the wire, it's moving up and down. The ripple moves down the length of the wire, but the ripple is not energy. The ripple is a pattern. And our brain says, pattern, there must be something substantial there moving down the wire. Nothing's moving down the wire. The energy is staying in one place, shaking back and forth between the boundaries, the insulation boundaries of and the endpoints, the surface of the wire, across the width of the wire. That's the extent of the movement, if you can call that movement. Actually, it doesn't even do that much. Now that I think of it, it's the amplitude that moves. But the energy stays inside of every single copper atom in that copper wire, just to give you an example. So this idea of movement is disgusting to me. When I talk enough about it, I remember to remind you and remind myself that energy doesn't move anyway. It stays in one place. If it moved, the copper wire would break down and turn into copper dust. It has to stay in one place. In fact, it has a paucity of energy because it lost it in the formation of that copper wire when all the copper atoms were fused together. So it doesn't even have extra energy to give up. Oh, it's valence. It can give it up. No, it can't. It's sharing it with the other copper atoms throughout the entire length of that copper wire. So if there was movement, the whole wire would move together as a singularity if it moved at all. I can concede that much, but I doubt that's even the case. It doesn't move. It's the amplitude that moves. That's a concept that moves, not the energy itself. The energy stays in the copper atom. So, you know, where does this extra energy come from? Well, if it doesn't move, it can't come from anywhere. Even the initial energy we give it did not come from anywhere. You see how the problem we have? We got all these misconceptions that have to be corrected before we can even wonder what's going on. So all we're doing it is we're using reactance as a form of information, a command, to use the energy that's inside the system already. This is what Joseph Newman was trying to convey, but he did it the wrong way by saying E equals mc squared. That's if you want to create a nuclear explosion. But despite the wrong analogy, he was right on the mark when he was trying to promote the general idea that energy is already there inside the massive coil. He just has to make it big because he doesn't know how else to get reactants strong enough to get over unity, see? So he was a country bumpkin. He didn't have simulators. He was just kind of fooling around, and he didn't even come up with the over unity version. Byron Brubaker had to give him the correct version. So, and then he never gave Byron the credit. That's why Joseph never patented it. It wasn't for any fault of the patent office. It was because he never shared the correct unit, the correct version. He was sharing the old version that's not over unity. So of course they're going to say it's not over unity because it's not. The prior version wasn't, the one that he came up with. But the one that Byron told him to modify it towards was over unity, but he died with it and took it to his grave. And Byron had to tell me what that version was for me to know, because nobody else would know on this planet when Joseph took it to his grave. It was replacing the permanent magnets in the center that rotate with PVC canisters of helium wrapped with an open coil. That's what, and painted to look like they were permanent magnets and not allow anybody else to touch the machine but himself. And he's a big bodybuilder, and he makes a big acting, like an actor. He makes a big show of, oh, it's a lot of effort to rotate this and get this started. No, it wasn't. A child could have done it. But he didn't want anybody else to touch it and find out that secret. Anyway, it's a little off topic, but you see, I get all emotional and then I lose focus. Oh, the lies we swim in. And mostly, the problem, I learned this from my mother, the worst lies are the lies we tell ourselves. Because in the mixed up condition that we create for ourselves, we end up, it spawns more lies on top of the lies we already told ourselves in order to make everything fit. But then when we meet up with something like free energy, we can't understand and make sense of it because of all the lies we've told ourselves. The lies on top of the lies to cover our own butt to ourselves. Not like we have to worry about lying to somebody else. These are the lies we're covering for on our own behalf to help create some sense of stability in our brains so we don't go nuts over this. This is probably why people get upset with me. Probably for that reason, because it's their own lies that they have to confront when they confront me. Because I have to straighten all this out in my brain, and then I forget about it in order to deal with this stuff. But most of the time I don't try to think about it because it's like a maze of intrigue, it's a labyrinth of lies. We've created a labyrinth of lies and stockpiled it inside of our brain. And called it, oh, this is what you need to know. It's going to be on the test. Yeah, but it's useless. It's a bunch of lies. Even Ohm's Law is a lie. Oh, I tell you, we've got so many lies. And current is a fiction. We have, because I said before, the energy does not move. So we have so many lies, it's pathetic. Anyway, I thought I'd say this. Here I'm in the middle of a job. I have nothing better to do. You know, my mind goes woo-woo when I'm driving because, you know, I've got nothing to do. So I come up with all these things. I think, hey, you know, there's another thought to this I got to add for the sake of you and everybody else on my space on Quora to make sure we come to an understanding here. You may not have to agree with me. You don't have to. But if you want to make sense of all of this, you're going to have to because it's the only way to make sense of this shit. Sorry for my language, but, you know, I really am pissed off that we accept these lies because we can get paid for them. I'm not going to get paid for telling you the truth. In fact, I'm putting myself at risk for telling you the truth. All the time I'm putting myself at risk. You, on the other hand, not you, but the people who are paid to do their job, they have to lie in order to continue to get paid to do their job. Or else they'll be out of a job, at the very least, which is the worst part. The other part that make it even worse is that people will laugh at them. And they'll feel so embarrassed that they don't fit into the crowd. Oh my God, it's such a big deal to be cast out of respectability. Oh, it's such a big deal. Anyway, enough said, right? Although I could say more, but that's enough for now.